Good morning. You are listening to United Labor Unions Local 100, Acorn International Radio. I'm Tony Orr here in the state of Arkansas, and I have with me this morning is Melba Kennedy, who's a member, and Jackie Brigance, who's a member. So how you ladies doing today?
Doing great.
Doing wonderful.
Good, good. So we'll start with you, Jackie. Mm-hmm. How long have you been a member of Local 100?
I've been a member for a couple of months now. Excited about it. Was introduced to a previous coworker due to some situations that was going on in the workplace. Kind of reached out and shared some information about how I could get some help with some of the things that or ways I was being treated in the workplace. And so reached out, met Mr. Orr, and from there on, I've been getting support from the union and advice and techniques on the next step to handle my situation.
Okay, and let me ask you, when you think about Local 100 and being a member, what are some of the things that you feel that Local 100 can do for you, or what you can do for Local 100?
I feel that Local 100 can benefit from it by having a second voice, another voice, speak on my behalf when there are times I may not be able to speak on my behalf for in situations that may be uncomfortable for me to speak on, rather be with a supervisor or department director or whomever.
And you said something earlier today. We were in a meeting with State Senator Joyce Elliott here in Arkansas. And you said something during that meeting that really brought awareness to me about work that must be done here in Arkansas. When you said that you didn't know about the union. Nobody told you in years past. You've been here, I've been working for the state almost 30 years.
Right.
And nobody told you. We've been around for over 30. I think we got established in 1985. But nobody ever told you or you didn't know. Mm-hmm. And how does that make you feel that there was a voice or entity that could help you, and now you just now found out about it?
Wow. I'm somewhat disappointed because there were numerous times that I needed support in situations throughout the career of working for 30 years, and I had no idea that there was another way of handling situation that I was afraid to handle on my own. So, but I'm elated to know that I can now share with others that there is a voice that is out there if you have a situation that you're kind of, I'm just going to say, fearful of handling on your own, then the union is there to be that voice for you.
Okay, and we also have Melba Kennedy. Me and Melba go back a few years now.
Yeah, yes.
And so I think you've been a member about, 4 years now?
Since 2014.
Yes, yes, yes. Yes. And we've had to handle a couple of grievances and a lot of things. I never forget, I met Melba one day for lunch at a Chinese restaurant, and you could tell the frustration that she had. She had to really fight back tears because of the way she was being treated in her county office, and it just really touched me. And we've just been working together for a long time, trying to get some things taken care of. And so, so Melba, what is your take on how the union has helped you? But more importantly, I know you've been spreading the news.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you have been spreading the news. There's been quite a few people that she have recommended sign up with Local 100. So how do you like being an advocate for Local 100?
I like being an advocate due to the fact that when people feel like there's nothing can be done about their situation, no one cares, it's just that they have to take whatever their supervisor or their director or administrator that gives them, they have to put up with it. And this gives them a other options where they can speak with someone if they feel like they're being treated unfairly and their rights have been taken advantage of. So the union, what it did for me was it gave me another voice to go to somebody else that could help me. By myself, I could not do anything. I had to reach out to someone else that had a voice for me besides myself. Me speaking on it, I was ignored and nothing was done about it. But until I got the union in my life, I was not able to do anything about I felt like I was being discriminated and harassed on my job, and I couldn't do anything about it. And they will continue to harass you. They will continue to violate your rights until you get another voice besides your own to help you. So that's what helped me.
Well, one thing I like about both of you ladies is both of you talked about voice. Right. And so I gather it's very important for you ladies to be able to stand up and voice your concerns. And I'm not going to say either one of you are timid. I know you're not timid, Mel.
Yeah,
but,
I am.
How important is it to be able to know that I can stand up, I can voice concerns, I can talk about what's going on, what's not right in my workplace, and not feel like I'm going to get retaliated against or harassed and nobody's there to help me? How does it, how does that affect you, ladies? How do you feel about that?
It gives you more motivation, and it gives you more power to defend yourself. Because if you don't have any, you don't have a voice, you don't have power to defend yourself, you're just going to take whatever they do to you and try to accommodate what they want you to do for them. And with this, when you're able to take your power back from them, you are able to give your voice, and you are also able to go through the procedures to let other people know I have a voice and I'm here and you need to hear this. And I want you to do something about this to make this fair. So that's what it's done for me.
I feel
like the first thing is we all have to know that we have to have respect for ourselves, and to allow someone else to come in and to disrespect us, you know, and then just settle and accept that, I think that's unacceptable. I had to first recognize that I was allowing someone to disrespect me and not just overlook being disrespected. Once I grasped that I deserve respect, then you don't really have the fear or worry of what else is being, you know, done or said, because the union is there to help you as an aid, the voice, the extra voice. But once I joined the union, I felt lifted in a way that, okay, Jackie, I'm doing something about this situation. I'm not just going to settle and allow them to just trump all over me. You have an extra voice now. Whatever the outcome may be, let it be, but stand up for yourself.
And I think that's one of the things that has been going on across this country over the years, is that there's been a concerted effort to stamp out the voice of the workers. And it's, you know, and in doing so, they've tried to dilute, you know, the work of unions. Mm-hmm. But it's so important that we continue to unify, because if nobody's going to speak for you, and it's hard sometimes, you know, even though you can speak for yourself, but the union give you more power, gives you more more voice, and that's what we need. And I know you ladies were dealing with it. I know with you, Melba, it seemed like you know what, it's like from every job you've had,
you know
some people would say that, you know, in DHS that you were just a troublemaker.
Yes.
Because everywhere you went. But I look at it like this, and they, you know, and I've heard some, one of your former supervisors over Pulaski North say this, that once you had left, they realized you weren't a troublemaker, you just was going to stay you know, stand for what was right.
Right.
You know, and a lot of times when workers right. do that, they are labeled troublemakers. And that's why the union is so important.
Right.
Like I said, we've gone through so many different things. How do you feel about all the things that have been thrown at you from DHS?
I feel like due to my personality, I do stand up for what is right, and I always have, even as a child. And a lot of people are intimidated by that because most people go with the flow and go with whatever everybody else is doing, even though if it's wrong. I don't do that. I go for what's right and what's going to be good. I look at everybody as I want to treat you as the way I want to be treated. And I don't think I need to go through hula hoops and loops for you to respect me. So I'm not going to do that. I mean, so you have to set up boundaries with people. I'm not going to put my integrity on the line because you want me to. So, of course, they didn't understand me at these jobs due to the fact that I was not going to budge from my integrity. I was not going to follow what they were doing. So, yeah, I was labeled a troublemaker for being who I was. I wanted to keep who I was. I'm an authentic person. And I'm going to, if I have to stand alone, I'll be there by myself being who I am. And you can't take that away from me. Because I always know there's a higher power that has control over what I do in my life. Maybe I was there to show you what you need to do with your life. So I hope that whatever happened with me, my prison being there, to make that job a better working place for the next people that come through the door.
I look at it, and I do agree with you. I look at it that when I start looking at the progression of the different issues and incidents that we mm-hmm. had to work together, yeah. I look at it that, you know, you have helped me become a better organizer. You've helped me become better in my grievances. You've helped me to look at issues in a different way.
Right.
Because sometimes we look at issues based on the grievance, based on the discipline, but sometimes we have to look beyond that
mm-hmm.
and see. You have to get to the cause
yeah.
of what is, you know, what the issues are.
Right.
And I know with you, Jackie, you know, you just retired.
Right.
And I just want to say that even though she retired, the first thing she said, give me a bank draft. Yeah. I still want to be a part of the union.
That's right.
Yeah. So right. Hey, you're all right with me, Jackie. You know, but it goes back to because of the environment where you worked at,
right,
and what is being allowed to happen in these county offices,
right,
you chose to retire, you know. Mm-hmm. But what I like about it, you chose to retire, but you didn't choose to get out the fight.
Right. Correct.
Yeah.
The thing I love most about my job, the whole reason I worked, is to serve the people. And to me, once the agency lose focus of the people, and I can't serve the people the way they deserve to be served, it hurts. And sometimes in the workplace, again, I worked for almost 30 years, and during that 30 years of career, the last 14 years, I worked directly with people. And sometimes you take a lot from management.
Mm.
Management yeah. take a drain. It's like pulls so much out of you because of production and for various reasons, whatever it may be. But sometimes management can take your meekness for weakness as well.
Do you think that management should, part of management role is to try to bring the best out of you?
I feel
as a worker and a person, as you try to bring the best out of the agency for the people they serve.
I almost said amen, but yeah, that's true.
You can say amen.
Because our mission is to serve the people. But in working, what you find sometimes is they forget about the employees. It becomes hard for the employees, and that makes it very difficult to serve a client the way they need to be served when you constantly degrading, downing, harassing, all of those negative things, and you're trying to inject into those employees, how are they to put out positive vibes to the client and serve them the way they need to be served?
You are so right.
For me, I love my job, but also, and it's because I love people. I love serving people, helping people, knowing that at the end of the day, I would always tell my coworkers, you know, and they would ask me, how do you do it, Jackie? I said, because when I leave work at work. When I come to work, I'm prayed up for the days ahead, for the day work ahead. And in that day, there's going to be obstacles. There's going to be trials and tribulations. And not no so much regarding the client. It's more so you're praying up yourself for the management team because of what they can bring down, how they can. Good management always bring about a good division.
You are right. You know, a lot of times, you know, as a union organizer, mm-hmm. we have to sit down with management. Mm-hmm. And we have to let them know that mm-hmm. we're not against you. What right. we're trying to do is work with you so right. that the worker
right.
can best serve. Because a happy worker is a productive right. worker. And so that's what we try right. to that's what we try to look at. And like we were saying, a lot of times management don't understand that mm-hmm. the more time you take developing that worker, and sometimes, you know, especially with DHS, one little mistake mm-hmm. by a worker, they are willing to discard that worker mm-hmm. instead of working to correct, and that gets us into another issue. Mm-hmm. You know, so we met with State Senator Joyce Elliott today. How was that experience for both of you ladies?
Oh, that was wonderful for me to actually get to meet someone to talk about the situation that occurred with me on the job. And someone was just willing to listen without looking at you like you're a troublemaker. And you always come in here with these issues. You always think that this is wrong or right when they need to be listening and listening to the person that's talking and try to figure a way to make their office or this whole DHS a better place for the employees and for the people that come in and out of the office, not just for the people that's in the director's position, the CA positions, to make their life better. How about making the employees' life better and the people that come there for services? So it gave me an opportunity to first to give my voice and to tell what is going on the inside. It's like a bad relationship. You hide it. It's happening, but you try to hide it behind closed doors. It's time for us to open these doors up and tell what's going on inside of the what's going on with these state entities. It's time for people to have a voice and talk about it.
Yeah, and you know, one of the things that when I talk to people outside of state agencies, you know, a lot of times, as a regular citizen, the only thing you want is when you step into one of these state offices is, I'm coming here for service. I'm coming here for help. I need some things done. And that's the only thing I care about. And sometimes, you know, state workers get a bad rap, especially with DHS, mm-hmm. because somebody comes in and their first contact is with a worker behind a glass or a worker right there at a desk. Nice. And you may think that this person is mean, this person doesn't care, this person is just blowing me off. Mm-hmm. But you don't know that citizen that's walking the door, you don't know that 5 minutes earlier some supervisor has berated this worker.
Most likely,
you know, somewhere along the day, this worker has got extra cases that they can't handle. They can't handle the cases they already have, and now you add cases. Or you've gone to a supervisor and asked for help, and they won't help you, or you've been discriminated against, or right. you've been harassed. Mm-hmm. And so now this worker has to sit at this front, and they have to put on their best mm-hmm. smile. They have to put on their best impression mm-hmm. for somebody coming in. And right. sometimes it becomes difficult. Mm-hmm. The great thing about this morning and meeting with Senator Elliott is the fact that now you know that there's someone else who wants to do something about these issues. We talked about this earlier. Sometimes they don't know what's broke. They don't know what to fix because nobody told them what's broke. Mm-hmm. And we have to allow them to do their job. Remember, right. They work for us.
They work for us.
They work for us. You know, so we have to let them work for us.
Right.
And so how'd you like the experience this morning, Jackie?
I was elated about meeting Miss Elliott. First of all, just very impressed that she's just a down-to-earth, ordinary person, and she was there willing to listen and just to hear, you know, about our experiences. And not only that, but to respectfully look into them, look into those situations that are occurring. I think just sitting there, at first I was nervous about it. I didn't know what to expect. But after meeting her, and, you know, she made us all feel welcome, comfortable, and to the point where you were relaxed and felt comfortable with sharing whatever your concerns are, and, you know, just giving input on, you know, what you've experienced or we've experienced as workers, as state workers. So I was impressed, and I'm just looking forward to seeing the results of it.
And another great thing, and a lot of people don't realize this, just like you ladies were state employees, she's a state employee.
Right.
She gets paid by the state of Arkansas.
Right.
Her check is, you know, when she gets her legislative check, it's from the state of Arkansas.
Right.
So she's a state employee too,
mm-hmm.
You know, and so she's concerned mm-hmm. about how other state employees are mm-hmm. being treated.
Right.
Also, we talked about the issue going on in Conway in Morton, Conway County,
mm-hmm.
Morton, about
mm-hmm.
some racial overtones,
mm-hmm.
issues.
Yes.
You know,
mm-hmm.
about her being an African American woman.
Mm-hmm.
She knows some of the, you know, she's probably been into some meetings, some legislative meetings where
right.
She may have been, you know, they may not have been treated as fairly
mm-hmm.
as she wanted to be, and so all those things go into play
mm-hmm.
as she tries to navigate it and help the situation. And so we always have to keep that in mind, that
mm-hmm.
we have to put these legislative members to work for us.
Yes.
So what are some of the other things? And I always ask this question: what can I do? What can we do as a union to be better? What can we do to get more people involved? To get the word out to more people?
Most likely, go to the counties, because a lot of the smaller counties, they have no clue about the union, and they're not going to tell them about it. And this is my opinion, I believe the reason why a lot of the workers are being harassed and mistreated and discriminated against and fired for no reason is because they feel like they can do it, and no one's going to do anything about it. If those employees had know that the union was there for them and someone else can listen to them, and they have a right to go to the next procedures with their problems, I believe a lot of these CAs and even the district administrator, they would be more cautious about mistreating their employees. And I just don't understand why, what are they getting out of mistreating their employees? I don't get it.
Well, a lot of has to do with, and we ran into this in Conway County, is that favoritism,
yes.
you know, is prevalent in,
yes,
in the state.
Yes, it is.
You know, because there's a perception that, hey, it's a state job, it's good benefits, you know, as long as I, you know, go to work, I pretty much have a job.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, it doesn't matter if I'm a good worker or not.
Yeah.
As long as somebody's there that's going to ensure
right.
that I keep my job,
right?
You know, and I think that's, like I said, that's one of the things going on that's starting to happen in Conway County, is
mm-hmm.
now that we're pushing people out, I can get those people in that I want in,
right?
You know, and I'm gonna make sure that they stay in their positions, and so that's one thing that is going on, that we have to be able to break that cycle. It's interesting that you said about the smaller office, the smaller county offices. You know, that's one of the drawbacks, one of the problems I have here in Arkansas is that I have a whole state. I have 75 counties.
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes I'm not able to get to those real small counties. And it's only when I hear that something is wrong that I can, somebody calls me from these small counties, that I can get out there. You know, and so I know we have to do, I have to do a better job of that. Maybe next year I'll set up a schedule, you know, that I get to all 75 counties. I get to about 40 to 50 a year, but I need to set it up to where maybe I can get to all 75.
Maybe you need some more help. Need extra help.
Always can use. I'm always looking for extra help.
There's 75 counties. That's what I think the union could get out and reach some of the smaller counties that may be having problems as well. I'm sure there are. Their voice has just not been heard.
Right, yet. Right. Yeah. Just like a Conway County.
Oh, yeah.
Well, a lot of times when there haven't been any issues in a county, you really don't look for a union person to be, you know.
Right.
So some counties, it all depends on who's running those counties, the administrator or whomever is in charge. There may not be issues, and then someone new come along, and then there's change, and there's issues that come with it. And because of the lack of knowledge of the union, people don't know. That's where I was. I didn't know, had no clue, no idea that there is a union for state employees. I never had to ask, or never really knew to ask, who to ask. Well, but it was a word of mouth. By word of mouth is how I found out, through a coworker that happened to come in my path. So if it wasn't for that particular person, then I would have been just thinking I had to just suffer and deal with that continuously.
In fact, you mentioned that you was in Faulkner County.
Were situations in Faulkner County. I would have been in the union years ago.
I had come, but
I had no idea. Yeah, it's like a hush hush or something. I don't know.
I came. Faulkner is one of those counties I come to every year. I think Mr. Giese.
Yes.
Yeah, Giese was
he
there.
He used to be the CA there.
Yeah, because in fact, I had to do a. Oh, I can't think of this young lady who got. Giese is not there anymore. In fact, they moved him downtown. You folks on the radio, you can just imagine the hand signals right there. What people have to know, and this is what I spend a lot of time telling people, a lot of times it's not about whether you have issues, it's about strength.
Right.
We're strength in numbers.
Strength in numbers.
And people have this misconception. They think the power lies at the top. Well, really, the power lies with the worker.
The worker.
The worker controls the power. Because it don't matter who at the top. You know, Cindy Gillespie can be director of DHS all day long. But if there's no workers... going to work,
right.
She has no job. So what we are constantly trying to do is get workers to realize their power and realize their potential. And part of that is letting them know that the more organized you are, the more strength you are. So we have a few more minutes left in the interview. Just want to first of all thank you ladies. I really am proud of you ladies for going, taking that step to say, I'm going to go and talk to somebody about what's going on. I'm going to go and let someone know about the issues that need to be addressed. And so I'm thankful to you ladies for that, taking the time out of your day to do that. The other day, I just want to encourage you ladies, you know, tell your friends, tell those who are working for the state, you know, hey, you do have a voice. Mm-hmm. And there's an entity out there that's looking to help you. So any last things you ladies want to say?
I have a last word. I would like to say that the state needs to get out of the old good boy good girl system where they're buddies, they're hiring their buddies for positions. Because you, they're your friend on a social level does not mean that they're good on a leadership level. There are more people that's qualified for those positions and that have college degrees and they have spent their money and they deserve to get a job through fair means and get an interview and get those positions. Instead of you getting giving your friends the positions, you need to look out for the people that need the help and not your personal selfish wants.
Okay. Hey, Jackie?
I would just like to say that if there's anyone out there that is facing issues on the workplace, look into the union for help. If you feel that there's you're up against a wall and there's no one else there to help you in the situation, check out Mr. Orr.
All right.
Give him a call.
I like that. Yeah. Give me a call at United Labor Unions. Hey, email me, text me, however you want to do it. We're always looking for new members. Ladies, I want to thank you once again for sitting down with me for
You're
this
welcome.
Interview. I also want to thank you for coming and going to this to State Capitol with me this morning to talk about your issues. Yeah, and I'm looking forward to seeing y'all in New Orleans in June for the leadership conference.
Yeah. Okay.
Start saving your money now.
Don't worry.
All right. Bye.
Bye-bye.